Be patient because I have a session with Dr. and Mrs. Kelly on the platform right now. So would the two of you please come? Would the two of you please come? It was 20, you've been married 22 or 21?
21.
21 years, okay. 21 years ago, on this platform, I performed a wedding ceremony. And after an email romance at a distance, they managed to get the thing together, and I was honored to perform the wedding ceremony. I didn't marry them. They married each other. And I performed the ceremony. And then they packed everything. Did you have that little Riley car? That little hatch, little Horizon, little hatchback Horizon. They packed all their worldly goods in that and went all the way across the country to the far east coast of Virginia Beach.
Amen.
And he went to seminary there to work on his PhD. And at the Tabernacle Theological Baptist Theological Seminary. And so I had mentioned to him that maybe he might want to come out and work with us sometime. And he took me seriously, and I got a call, I think in
February.
But I got a call in May telling me a certain date and saying, "We're coming out." And I said, "Oh, well, the church has got to get in on this." So we get in on this, and we had been through some hard times. I don't want to go into all of this, but the caretaker, Jerry, had passed away, and John Browning had died, and who had resigned? There was associate
Pastor Wright.
Pastor Wright had resigned, and Mrs. Browning and I were the two left, and she had kidney stones three times. And then the computer hard drive had a meltdown, and we lost our entire database. We lost everything. And the treasurer, who was doing the bookkeeping, was moving, and she was 3 months behind in the books. My brother had been resigned from a church up in Lakeport, and we were putting him to work down here, and I just had a lot of things on my plate, and those were not easy days. And we were looking for an associate pastor, and Tim Sneeden was in the wings. We were getting ready to consider him. And so this man and my daughter showed up at our doorstep. "Did you come in July?"
"Yes."
"Came in July, just in the nick of time." And our computer company's software was not developed like it is now. And so they were going to reinstall the software system, trying to get us up and going with our finances and the whole thing. So this dear man had to show their computer expert how to put their software together in our machine. And that's literally true. And so he got that thing up and running. And I don't know how he figured out where all the figures were. They were all over the place. He got everything put back together. And we owe this man a tremendous debt of gratitude. And then his dear wife has been at his side, and you all know that she tries to be omnipresent. She doesn't quite succeed. She's all over the place. And so for 20 years, they've been faithfully serving us. Now, this has been a hard journey for them. This has not been an easy journey. It's been a very difficult journey for them. And so we thank God for their faithfulness through these years. By the way, our books are in wonderful shape. I don't know any pastor that has more confidence in the finances of the church than I do in this church. And if I'm confident, you can be confident. If I'm not, you can't be. But the confidence that I have in the work he does, the work with the choir, hasn't he been doing a superb job? And then in counseling behind the scenes and in the Bible studies that he does and in discipleship, but just he's just been an enormous asset and blessing to our church. And Deborah has been all over the place. I don't know what she done. I don't think she has an assignment. I think she has about 50 different things she does regularly. and she presides over these plants. Wilt if she doesn't water them. She keeps up with a lot of things. The punch you drink on Sunday at lunch and mingle, those are her concoctions, and we have the best punch of anybody. We have good stuff around here, and she works at his side and just taking care of stuff all over the place. Works with the music, getting it all arranged and keeping track of the music in the church, and so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. So they've served us faithfully, but one thing we need to understand, and if I got time for my sermon, why, we'll look at it for just a minute. The biggest thing they have contributed to us is they have given us 20 of the best years of their life. They've given them to us. And they've given them to us without groaning and complaint. They've given them to us with zeal and with joy. And their service has been quality from top to bottom. And we are grateful. And there is absolutely no way that you can buy. I was thinking, well, we could get you one of these high school trophies. Put a plaque on your wall, one of these. And I said, no, that won't do. I said, what in the world can we do? There's only one, we found one thing visible that we can give to you. But all it does is say that Hamilton Square Baptist Church loves you and appreciates you. That's all it can do. It can't do any more than that. These things are limited because the love is from our hearts. Pastor Pellet, you help me, please, with this. All right. Now I'm going to see if I can get this thing out here. We got this for them. It's glass crystal, and it says Hamilton Square Baptist Church, Brian and Deborah Kelly, 20 years of faithful service. And we thought they could put this somewhere, and this will tell them every time they look at them, this congregation appreciates their service, and we love you very, very much. You got to hold this thing. It's heavy.
It's thick and chunky like me.
Let Deborah hold it.
You would hold it.
It is heavy.
It's thick and chunky.
It's thick and chunky. Now, I think the congregation will want to hear some comments from you, but I think we'll do that in the afternoon program time. Okay, so if you can, the bottom goes down here and the top there. There we go. There we go. There we go. And I think we ought to give them applause. I was going to ask our interns to go up here to the store with the fresh produce up the street here, up at California and Franklin. Didn't have time to do that. How many of you have ever seen wheat grains? Wheat grains. How many of you have never seen a grain of wheat? I think there are some who have never seen a grain of wheat. Grain of wheat's about this big, right? If you think it's like this, you've never seen a grain of wheat. That was a test. A grain of wheat is very small. It's tiny, but it is very potent, very potent, very potent. Are you listening now? Are you awake? Are you listening? Because Jesus used a grain of wheat for an illustration of your life. Now, one of the afflictions that saints have is they think their lives are little and their capacities are little, and they don't have much to offer. That's what saints think. Okay? And preachers think that way. Sunday school teachers think that way. We think small. And notice the text on your outline, John 24:24. Verily, verily. Stop there. That means in modern English, listen up. I have something important to tell you. Amen, amen. Amen, amen is the Greek text. Amen, amen. Listen up. You're going to miss something. Unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it stays by itself. It abides alone. But if it's willing to give up its life and go in the ground and die. Now, that process of death is interesting. I'm a farmer. You put the grain in the ground, that little tiny grain of wheat, out of the bottom comes a root, and out of the top comes a stalk. It's very, very small, but it grows and it grows. And on the top, you'll have 25, 30, 40, 50 grains of wheat. Anybody know math here? You take 20 grains of wheat and put it in the ground. How many grains of wheat do you get? 20 times 20, 400. And you take the 400 and put it in the ground, and 400 times 400 is 16,000? 16,000. So you take 16,000 grains of wheat. And it is not long. Are you listening to me? It's not long, if you did it right, that you could feed the world from one small, insignificant grain of wheat. That's the potential of your life. And that's what happened when our Lord Jesus went to the cross, because he's telling us in this text to follow him there. That's what happened to the life of the Lord Jesus. One life given for us on the cross begat multitudes at Pentecost, begat multitudes and historically hundreds of millions of believers. That's the potential of a life that is totally given to God. You say, I'm not much. You don't have to be much. You have to die. You have to give your life for the right thing. So let's take a look at the text. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. And here's the principle. The one that wants to hang on to his life for selfish purposes will lose it. And the one that hates his life, that is, disregards what he wants to do with his life in this world, notice it's in this world, shall keep it unto life eternal. That's the next world. In other words, you can carry everything over from this life into the next life, if you please. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And that involves the death process. You do whatever you have to do in order that others might benefit from your life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am. This is precious. Get this promise, saints. Get it. You love the Lord? Get this. Where I am, there shall my servant be. That's a good thing. What do you think? That's the prospect. That's the prospect. If any man serve me, and this is the thing that I don't understand, but it's true, him will my Father honor. This is amazing. And so we think about honoring God's servants who have served us as a church today. God says, if anyone serves me, my Father's going to honor him. And I figure if God's going to honor them, we can honor them in a way that will please God. So let's take a look at the text. Verse 24, unless the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. All right? In John 15:8, Jesus said, my Father is glorified if you bear much fruit. And the selfless life bears much fruit. Dying in this text is equated with serving Christ. The identifying mark of the servants of God is that they adopt his method, his way of living, his aims, and they truly follow him. And again, we are living in a day when people think you're crazy if you give up your own dreams in order to get God's dreams for your life. They think you're crazy. But I found out God's dreams are a lot bigger than mine. And I find out in the way of God's dreams, God's provisions are there for every need of life, without exception. Amazing. Verse 25, the one who loves his life is going to lose it. The one who hates his life in this world, and notice that in this world, shall keep it unto life eternal. Two dynamics. What you can do with your life. You can love your life. You can live a self-centered, self-gratifying life. Love yourself above others. And what happens is you will lose it. And the word lose there is the word that means ruin or destroy. It's taking something that has enormous potential and just destroying that potential of life. That's what selfishness does. Living for self, dreaming for self, aggrandizing self. This is the picture of the tragic loss of something very valuable. The one who loves his life destroys its potential. Hating your life, which means regarding self-centeredness as a bad thing, and hating the self-centered kind of life, that is, you treat your own personal selfish interests with contempt. Boy, that's hard to do. Nobody said amen. It's hard living that way. Treating your own personal self-interest with contempt. That's what it means to hate your life. These are the interests that focus all of life on what we want for ourselves. The one who hates his life, notice, is the one who is going to preserve it. This is amazing. What you think will destroy your life actually preserves it. Because in the destruction of life and a selfless life given to God, there's a preservation of the potential of life. And it's amazing what God does with our lives. Kelly's been with us for 20 years. There's a buildup of this thing. They've been investing and investing and investing for over 20 years now. But they haven't seen a thing yet. 20 years from now, they'll see a little more. And when they're dead and gone, there'll be a lot more than they'll ever see. That's the potential that they preserve by living selflessly and giving their lives to us instead of keeping their lives for themselves. And that's an example of how God would have us to live. Shall preserve it unto life eternal. That's both quality of life and quantity of life. And I just love it. Let me say it again. When you put me in a box in front of this room, you'll have my corpse in there, but you can't bury my life. It won't fit in that box because my life goes with me over on the other side. You can't put it in there because there's going to be nothing left to put in there. Remember, I've told you, I plan to give it all away. I don't want to leave this life and have anything left of it. I want to give it all away in service. Yes? Isn't that what we're here for? I get to take it all with me. They're going to get to take all of this with them. All goes with them. If any man serve me, let him follow me. In verse 26, where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Serving is the using of our lives for the benefit of others. It's a life of humble. What's the next word I put in the notes? Painful. Painful, it hurts. When you serve others, you get hurt. Yes or no? You get hurt when you serve others. It's a life of, and it's humbling. In fact, I say it's beyond humbling, it's humiliating. It's a life of humble, painful service. But this kind of life is valued, highly valued, and it's honored by God the Father. There are two certain results of this life of service. If I follow Christ in my ministry, I will of necessity follow him to where he is. That's wonderful. Because our leader is in heaven. And we follow him to there. That's a wonderful thing. I have an eternity where he is. The second certain result, the Father without fail or exception will honor those who give their lives in personal service to Christ. One of the most awesome scenes in all the Word of God, I think, comes out of Hebrews, where God the Son presents all of his children to God the Father. These are those children that you have given me out of the world. It's an amazing scene. How Jesus can be proud of his children, presenting them to the Father in heaven. And then God honors those who have served him there. That doesn't register in my mind. How can our great God do this with us? But he said, if you serve me, my Father will honor you. Follow me, serve me, my Father will honor you. And then on page 2, the backside of your page, I put a little note on what the church is to honor, because there is definite instruction in Paul's epistles. 1 Timothy 5:7, let the elders that rule well be counted or considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor, who work hard in the word, in preaching and teaching. So God's word instructs us to count his servants with honor. So we cannot honor God without honoring his servants. This is very important. We're living in a culture where there's no longer respect for authority. There's no longer respect for parents. There's no longer respect for teachers. There's no longer respect for pastors and Christian workers. Everybody is regarded as common and ordinary. That's not the way the Apostle Paul taught us to think. Those who work hard at preaching and teaching are to be considered worthy of double honor. Whatever that means, I'm not going into the meaning of that at this time. And the Word of God tells us to honor our father and our mother. Is that right? Is that right? We are to honor those who are responsible over us. We're to honor the king. There's to be honor. There's to be a sense of respect, a sense of gratitude, if you please, and reverence toward these people. 1 Thessalonians 5, we beseech you. What does the word beseech mean? Beg, request, however you want to put that. We beseech you, brethren, know them. Now, what does the word know mean? Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And notice verse 13. Esteem them what? Very highly in love. Why? For their work's sake, because of the work that they do for you and for God. So Paul instructs the church that we are to esteem very highly in love those who work hard in preaching and teaching, those who labor among us, have charge over us. We are to understand and recognize them. That's what the word know means. Understand them and recognize them. Esteem means to think or consider or regard them very, very highly. And that's a superlative in the Greek text. Freiberg says it means surpassingly, extremely, earnestly in prayer, the highest form of comparison imaginable, immeasurably more than. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So what we do today is biblical. It's biblical. And in honoring them, we honor the God that gave them this ministry, the God that has sustained them through this ministry, because had he not sustained them, they would not have been able to do it. I know that from experience. And so God has been good to grant us servants who labor among us in this way. And then we had the text we read this morning, the eternal results of faithfulness. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. None of our service for God is perfect, but it can come out of a perfect heart. A heart that's turned toward God, devoted to God, that is earnest toward God and toward man. And we have been honored as a church to have a pastoral staff. We have two associate pastors. We have a caretaker. We have a dear lady serving us in the office. Every one of them with a servant's heart, just pouring their lives into all of us. And so it's today the Kellys have been with us for 20 years. And we just want to say thank you. Are you listening? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. And we honor you as a congregation. I'm glad. I'm going to talk personally. I'm glad God sent you back here. I'm glad. And your service has been invaluable to all of us. And I'm glad you married my daughter. I think you had good taste.